The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Dave Ramsey went from borrowing money and going broke to teaching millions how to be smart with their money and live debt-free.
And so I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know, who was it taught me to borrow money? That was my broke finance professor in college. What's wrong with that picture? Broke finance professor is like a shop teacher with missing fingers. So.
Dave Ramsey and his daughter Rachel Cruz help others manage money God's way. Next.
Thank you. What a joy to be with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled, too. We're going to share Dave Ramsey and his daughter. And she's absolutely beautiful. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how all this happened. He's got some kind of a wife. But that's such a beautiful smile. I love his smile. Now, Dave came here to be with us not too long after Betty and I started doing the talk program. And, you know, he was just barely on any radio stations. And he was just discovering the mess he'd been in and how to get out, and he wanted to help others. Look at this. I want you to look back many years back. Watch this.
Welcome Dave Ramsey to our Life Today program. Would you give him a really welcome, Dave? Good to see you. Thank you. You have written a book that is
That's a
bestseller.
It's
called Financial Peace. Restoring financial hope to you and your family. This is a tremendous book in the bookstores, a bestseller, and for good reason. Do you think people can have financial peace?
Financial peace, two words that don't go together, like airline service. Isn't that strange? It's just, absolutely they can if they meet the Prince of Peace.
Oh, honey. How'd you like your hair, Dave? Would you welcome Dave Ramsey and his daughter, Rachel Cruz? Welcome. Did that take you back?
My hair fell out and yours didn't. I don't know what happened. Finished falling out, I guess. How about those glasses? Weren't those great? Those are great. Mr. Magoo. Awesome.
More handsome today. Yeah.
I would say. Well, Dave, I want you to know I love you. And
you
I love
too.
You for the way you've helped so many people.
Well, thank you.
Find a way to freedom. I mean, your grin is contagious. You just flash it. You're just like, I know what's really wrong with you. I'm fixing to straighten you out. But I'm going to make your life. It's awesome the way you've helped people. And just real quick, capsule why you became so interested. Because you had experienced what the world calls a big, full measure of success, and all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. And like that, we can't seem to see it's happening to our nation. I mean, it's so insane. Excuse me. Please, God, heal the nation. Tell us what happened.
Well, I didn't grow up knowing God. I met God, and then on the way up, we started with nothing. When we were 22 years old, we got married. We were broke. Y'all remember that, don't you? You know, we ain't got money, honey, but we got love.
Yeah.
You know, we were eating off a card table and driving a 1902 Pinto. And, you know, and I started buying and selling real estate, and I got rich by the time I was 26 years old. And I had about $4 million worth of real estate. But I had done it stupid. I had way too much debt. It all looked good. And, you know, we're in Texas, so we can say big hat, no cattle, right? Yeah, it looked good, but it wasn't real.
Right.
And so the bank got sold to another bank. I know that never happens around here, but they looked down and they said, this kid owes us $1.2 million, and they wanted to limit the relationship. That's banker talk for ruin his life. And so they called our notes, and we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. We were sued and we were foreclosed on, and finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler and a marriage hanging on by a thread, we were at the bottom and we were bankrupt. And so we met God on the way up, but we got to know Him on the way down.
Mm.
And I started studying God's ways of handling money, and Larry Burkett was in the marketplace at that time. We later became friends, and Ron Blue, and Howard Dayton. There were men that were stepping into the evangelical space at that time, right, teaching people God's word and what it says about money. And I was reading that and learning it and comparing it to what I had learned in my academic walk. And some of it matched up, but some of it didn't. And so I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know, who was it taught me to borrow money? That was my broke finance professor in college. What's wrong with that picture? Broke finance professor is like a shop teacher with missing fingers. So I started figuring out maybe God's smart and maybe I need to listen to what he's got to say. And I started, and Sharon and I started applying those principles to our lives, and it took a while. I'd like to say we bounced back, but we didn't. We sat around and blamed everybody else for a while. Sometimes people do that, and it was our fault. But we slowly began to heal, and then people were attracted to that. It's like when your good friend loses a bunch of weight, you say, how'd you do that? And people would say, how'd y'all not kill each other? How'd y'all stay married? How'd you get back up to where you could walk again? Because everybody knew we were knocked flat, you know. And so we said, well, this Word of God thing, and let's open it up here and let's start to see. There's 2,500 scriptures on how to view possessions philosophically, theologically, but also tactically, the things you're supposed to physically do to handle money properly. None of it's a sin. It's not any of that stuff. It's not that serious. It's just your Heavenly Father who's crazy about you says, son, this is how you live.
Well, you've been teaching it. Don't you appreciate the fact that he's taught it enough to get your interest and the interest of many people here? 6 million people listening on radio to him every day, and then all the things that he said in television. You appreciate the fact that a man cares enough to help us? I'm absolutely thrilled by it. And I can tell you, Betty and I are two people. We've been married now 51 years, and we were fortunate enough to start our journey. First year we were married, made $6,000 combined income. Mm-hmm. And we knew that we were not going to be in debt. And we didn't know that credit cards were something you could run up. We thought it was a plastic check. You paid it immediately. You couldn't imagine you didn't do that. How in the world would you not do that? We didn't understand it. So we understood principles, and we're sitting here as living proof it works. Okay?
Yeah, we just adopted the principle, if we didn't have the money to pay for something, we didn't need it that bad, so we could wait, mm-hmm, you know, until we could afford it.
And it really, with the lessons we learned, it wasn't by osmosis, but we were seeking God, but we really were very fortunate. Mm-hmm. But while we were learning and walking, we were watching all these things you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you're thinking, okay, how do we help? But you came on the scene, and some of these other men, which I knew and know well and have been here, they helped a lot of people too, and thank God for it. Now,
good man.
Your daughter is here, was born during the time that you were on the way down. You came to God, and she watched it. She didn't really realize all the pain that was coming, but she has watched the process and the turnaround. And I've got to ask you, Rachel, you're a radiant person, but how impressed were you with what was happening with Dad and what he was, you know, sharing with others?
Sure. Well, his ministry in and of itself, probably growing up, I mean, I kind of grew up, it was just my dad, to be honest. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, there were things, you know, we'd hear him on the radio and that kind of thing. And so I think the older I got and the more interested I personally became with this message and seeing people gravitate it so quickly and realizing money is such a part of life that is so hopeless and so shameful for a lot of people. And what he was giving was hope.
Right.
And I could watch people's lives literally transform. So I became very intrigued early on. I mean, I would go with him when he'd go preach around at churches or do seminars. You know, in the early days, I would work the back book tables because I just loved watching him and seeing this message connect. And so I think, you know, I think throughout my I think it was a process of realizing, wow, this stuff works because God's ways of handling money, they work. And I had the blessing of being on a front row seat. I mean, I was there. I mean, I was born in April and they filed bankruptcy in September. So I was 6 months old. And so people tell me, you know, you were born at the worst possible time. And I tell people, I think differently. I think I was born at the best time because it was their fresh start. And so my whole life I've got to watch that. And so it's been a tremendous blessing. And it's great, you know, doing this and the book together with him. I mean, it's fun. We're having a lot of fun.
We are.
Well, now, why did you decide that you were not only going to live what he taught, but begin to share what he taught? What moved you to do that?
Yeah, well, growing up as Dave Ramsey's kid, you know, we didn't have like mutual fund parties or like budget summits. Like it was nothing like that. Some people think that, but no, it was very normal. But since it was normal, though, they taught us common sense, like what you just said. If you don't have the money, don't buy it.
You now are interested in taking the message to young people, to college students, high school students. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you, this smart money, smart kids.
Not smart aleck, smart. All right? And what Rachel is wanting to share and what Dave and Rachel have done together is what parents should have been telling their children and what children should get excited about because of the benefits of understanding the principles. I mean, these are fabulous principles. They are principles, by the way, I just thought of this. The greatest tweeter and the first tweeter that ever lived was a man named Solomon. And if you just go over, you can read tweet after tweet after tweet of wisdom. I mean, there's your first tweeter. And we need to turn it loose and take the truths, and it changes their lives. So you got excited because you not only saw a dilemma among the young people, but you saw a response. Now tell me, because college kids can be very skeptical and not the best audience. Sure. You're finding them to be very interested and very attentive, and young people to seem to have a real hunger for understanding and wisdom about this. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, they haven't been equipped to go out and handle money on their own. So when they go off at 18 years old to college or the real world, they're trying to figure it out, and they're lost. And honestly, they're very scared. I think for a while they're naive, but they hit a point where they realize, wow, this $90,000 of student loan that I've racked up, this credit card debt, everything is coming to a head, and it's a reality. What do I do to get out of it? And so giving them a plan, and I think that's the great thing about God's ways of handling money. It's common sense. It's easy to understand. It's hard to do because we're so, you know, we want things all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you just put a plan in place, there is hope in this subject. And so, yes, college students, I'm so thankful. You know, some are skeptical still, but overall they're receptive because, again, no one's taught them how to handle money.
How do you feel when you watch what's happening to her and the effect of what's happening in her?
I think we're going to be all right.
Do you think what she's got's contagious maybe and they will listen?
It is. And you know, you've done a lot of speaking as I have, and sometimes a youth group, a young group like that is the toughest to speak to.
Can be.
And especially, you know, if you're in my seat. But she goes in there and owns those audiences because they're connecting to her because she's just, you know, just a little bit removed from that, mm-hmm. and yet is giving them the answer for this touch point, this felt need. And it turns into just real ministry. Mm-hmm. And because then that opens up a whole nother can of worms where you get to talk about life and you get to talk about a lot of other things that are going on. And all of a sudden, real stuff starts happening. But the door we go through is the money door.
Well, and it's one we need to go through now. You have a website. If people wanted to access to find out what you may offer that they could access, whether it's a video seminar or anything you've ever done, you and Dad together, just tell them what's there. Or if they want to know where you might speak that they might show up or be a part of and help get the word out, where would they go?
Yeah, you can go to rachelcruz.com. And so I do a video blog twice a week there. So there's endless content there. You can see where I'm speaking. You can request speaking, different tools that we have to help you figure out. But it is geared towards, you know, a younger audience. So if parents have, you know, teenagers or college students or even young adults, young marrieds, mm-hmm. hopefully this site will be able to engage them in their season of life.
All right. There it is on the screen. You see the website. Now, if you have in a university, college, or some setting where you've got young people, and you say, look, I know we can gather them because we got a need here, and they would come. Do you go without Dad, or does he always go with you? Or
do you go alone? I've been going on my own.
I'm not working that hard anymore.
I was saying that because I didn't want to lose some of the students. Hey. You know, here's the thing. If they wanted you to come, could they communicate with you and find out how to see, can we set it up?
Yes.
And let's just say, Dave, because you and I have worked with churches, I mean, my goodness, over the years, and we've been able to touch millions of people. If in fact, a group of churches who said, our young people need this, our young marriage need it, and if Rachel would come, if they would go together and secure a setting, would she go in for an evening and a morning or something
sure.
like that? Is that something
sure.
you would consider doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do all types of speaking. And, you know, obviously you can only be in one place at one time. So we have tools like Generation Change is a youth Bible study that I made specifically for teenagers. So God's ways of handling money for teenagers. So churches can even look into that if I'm not able to come. So lots of resources or, requests for me to come and come speak.
Okay, now then, are you going to do anything together? Are you all going to do any functions together? Or are you just going to do some things with the book together? Because you did pour both of your hearts and lives into this.
We actually, and from a speaker's perspective, it was very interesting. We spoke to Catalyst, which was about 13,000 folks, mm-hmm. Back in the fall, and it was the first time we'd done that, and we did it together on the stage, which is different because you kind of got to have cues back and forth instead of just standing up there and preaching or talking
sure.
and mm-hmm. so forth, and it was so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it really worked.
So you would consider something so, if the situation was appropriate for
it. Yeah, we're going to do that several times during the book tour with this book at different churches around the nation. So I'll be hitting parts of the book tour, and she'll be hitting about 10 or 15 cities, and I'll probably hit about 5 of them.
She says she's comfortable speaking to 50 to 100, you know, young people, that it's not like it has to be big, but she's spoken to 10,000 in a gathering, and so she's comfortable with that. So I don't think that the setting necessarily limits, but you really need to pray about it. But here's the beautiful thing. You can have both of them right here in the book. And I really believe you downloaded in depth in ways you couldn't necessarily do it even when you're talking in a setting. You're basically sowing seed in order to get them to go in and get more out of what comes from those seeds and to see them more fully. So I'm encouraging you to get the book. And I want to say this. You know, Dave, I mentioned to you that we are reaching out to save children, and that we even started feeding at schools, which, by the way, inspired the World Food Bank and the World Food Program to do the same thing. So our mission program has inspired the outreaches, national outreaches throughout the world. And when I told you about this earlier, and I think it's important for all of you to hear this and all of our viewers, I said, we're going to tell our viewers today that if they'll help us feed these children, these hundreds of thousands of kids that are really facing death and a dim future, we want to give anyone that'll help us. You know, we're offering a book I wrote on a dad's blessing. Our son wrote a book on how to be able to rise above all the circumstances, pressures, and temptations as an overcomer in the power of God. Because you're our first primary focal point to bless you and encourage you. That's why we're here, is to help. We're not here just to get you to do something for somebody. You'll find joy in that. But we're here for you. And so when I told Dave, though, at the end of our programs, we always ask people to put God's arms around the suffering and extend His hands of care. And you do it. And I said, Dave, we're going to give this book to everybody who helps us. And we're always prepared, because we always have to. We pay for the book and send it to you. And Dave immediately said, well, you're not going to pay for the book today and this week, because we want to give it to those who respond to help children. Mm-hmm. You appreciate that spirit. And what that actually does, Dave, it really enables us to do more. And I got to tell you, that's a huge gift from you and Rachel. And Betty and I say thank you. And I want you to see, both of you to see, and all of us and all of you, I want you to see some of the little faces and lives and mothers and families that love's going to make an indescribable difference to. Watch closely.
The night before a big day, it's when we focus on preparing, on being ready for our big plans. But what if your big plans, your loftiest goal, is determining how you will feed your children the next day to ensure their survival? In this area of Africa, that's what often defines success, simply taking another breath in the morning. Too often, for children like these, that's a tall order. Drought has taken its toll, and food is now scarce to be found. So one meal a day becomes the norm for the lucky ones. But for too many mothers, burying their children becomes the norm as they are taken by starvation. But we know the solution. With your help, we've delivered it time and again. But now, it's time again, and we can't do it without you. Their thoughts of tomorrow shouldn't be a desperate search for food. By partnering with us, you'll not only sustain these children, you'll allow them dreams of a life beyond survival.
Boy, this week, Betty walked up to me at the house She had just gotten a comforting letter from a couple of mothers who had lost their children here in the United States and had heard Betty talk about us losing our daughter, and how Betty had ministered hope because they said, you're the first person that really seemed like understood. And Betty said to me this week, and I really want you to hear it in light of what we just saw. She said, I keep asking God, what good can come out of that? We lost our daughter. We lost our baby. What real good? And then suddenly it hit her. She said that, well, you know, if you can really feel what it feels like to somebody to lose a child, maybe you could do more to move people to prevent mothers from losing their child. And I said, Betty, maybe by feeling that in a greater sense of understanding, we can help others understand what it means when you give life and you become the answer to that hope and prayer.
Yeah, James, and that really is what everyone wants to know that's going through a trial, a loss of a loved one, or one that's maybe really, really sick, like you see these children, that some of them may not make it, and especially the mother's heart. She does everything she can. She can't think of anything else to do, but she loves her baby so much. And so as a mother that's lost a child, I understand more. I used to look at these babies and I thought, and their mothers, and say, I want to understand that hurt that they're going through. Well, I understand now. And it's a big hurt. It's a big hurt for a mom to see their child laying there and you feel helpless and you can't do anything about it. This is something we can do something about. If we'll just reach out and reach deep into our hearts and say, God, how can I help? We can help these children maybe not reach that point to where there's no return. Maybe to come out of that malnourished state to where they can live full lives and laugh and play as a little child should be able to. If you'll join with us, we can do that.
And if you didn't know, our daughter died of cancer in a big battle. And everybody did all they could to help, but in that sense, it seems like, you know, we weren't able to help, and of course we trusted for the miracle. But here's the thing I want you to know. I believe any of you watching would have said, if we knew what to do, we would have done it. But obviously, that didn't happen. But for the children, they just need some food. It's that simple. But they won't get it if we don't provide it for the missionaries and the relief workers to distribute. They're in place. We've got 400,000 desperately needy children located and already in areas where we can feed them. So we need your help to feed them for the next months. $30, $50, $100, no exaggerations, the truth. $30, $50, or $100 because you built food factories that provide this food in all these different areas. You built them, you paid for them. So we can do this and feed them $30, $50, or $100, 3, 5, or 10 children for the next few months. If you would help us feed 100 children, a gift of $1,000, and I want to tell you, we've got a 100,000 child problem right now in Angola with drought. They're going to die in the next weeks and months if we don't immediately begin to care for them. So we need $1,000,000. We need 1,000 people to give $1,000 to take care of 100,000 children that are facing death almost immediately. And then we need, for the 400,000 total children, we need every person to do what you can. We have some gifts for you to bless you, some books that will encourage you and help you. But I'm asking you to go to the phone or go online, be an answer to that mother's prayer, be a solution to that crisis problem they face. And it is really simple, and you can do it. Go to the phone, use your bank card like a check. That's how you always use them, only that way. Go online, lifetoday.org. Make the gift God put on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I'm actually praying that there might be so many calls for help and so many calls to help, you might get a busy. Well, go online, lifedad.org, but also, here, listen to me. You be so determined as though it was somebody that you love's life depending on it. You'd be determined to get through. Let us know what you're putting in the mail or make that gift from the bank. Or say, I am going to be an answer to mother's prayer. I'm going to save a child's life, as many as I can. We'll also send you, if you'd like to have it, along with the book that Randy wrote, that I wrote, we'll send you Dave Ramsey's and Rachel Cruz's daughter. It's his daughter. Boy, she's beautiful, and they are radiant, and they are full of truth to share with you. We'll send this to you. Say thanks. And it's a gift from them to help us help children. Would you say thanks to Rachel and to Dave? Thank you both. Let me tell you this. They're going to be with us again this week, and we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts of getting everything straight regarding money, okay?
Tomorrow on Life Today, Dave Ramsey and his daughter Rachel Cruz team up to equip parents to teach their children how to win with money. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.